Welcome to the Hooked on Fantasy Podcast with your host, Luke Sawhook.
And Hudson Brown. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Hooked on Fantasy. I'm your host, Hudson Brown, along with your co-host, Luke Sawhook. And today we've got a fantastic episode. As you can see, we've got more rookie draft breakdown. The rookie draft is just rolling through right now. Last week, we talked about the first round. We'll quickly, briefly mention who went in that first round. And then we're going to start breaking down the second round here and the third. Talk about some players you like, dislike, break down some strategies, talk about it all. And it'll be super, super exciting. Cannot wait for it. Luke, how are we doing tonight? Are we feeling good?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited to break down the rest of this rookie draft with you. Obviously, if you're watching on video, you can see the draft board. If you're not, well, that's too bad. I'm kidding. We'll break down every single every pick for you on the draft board here. As Hutch mentioned, if you missed last week's episode or if you listened, we did an auto draft simulation of the first round of a rookie draft on Sleeper. The CPU controlled the entire thing. We let ADP kind of dictate the draft in Superflex, rookie draft for Dynasty, and ADP there, two quarterback league. And in the first round, just to recap here, we had Marvin Harrison Jr. go at the 101, which is fair. Caleb Williams at the 102, Malik Nabers at the 103, Jaden Daniels 104, Rome Odunze 105, which Hutch and I agreed might be a little rich. Drake May at the 106, JJ McCarthy at the 107. The value of the first round that Hutch and I agreed on is Brock Bowers at the 108, Jonathan Brooks to Carolina at the 109, Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver for the Chiefs at 110, my GOAT, Ladd McConkey at 111 to the Chargers, Trey Benson at 112 to the Cardinals, which I think is kind of interesting to round out the first round. And here we go with the first pick of the second round. Let's just dive right in, I guess, shall we?
Go for it.
Bo Nix, very interesting here. I actually kind of like the value. I'm not going to lie. I think Bo Nix is, I tweeted about this the other day. I think he's the most interesting and like most difficult to project of these rookie quarterbacks, in my opinion, for this year's class. Because he went to a good landing spot in Denver. I mean, this is a team who really wanted him. I didn't have him graded as anything higher than like maybe pick 25 overall. I did not think he was more than a late first round pick in terms of talent in my evaluation. I'm obviously not a draft expert. I don't try to be, but I do a little bit of my own eval every year. It's kind of fun for me. And I like Nix. I think he has nice traits. The thing I like about this landing spot is I think it's a landing spot that can use his traits to the best of his possible ability. With Sean Payton, he likes an accurate quarterback who can complete the ball at a high rate. Nix is that guy. I also think it's fun that they drafted Troy Franklin, whose name I'm sure we'll mention later in this episode, to pair up with him. I think it's a good landing spot for him in terms of he has all the opportunity in the world to be a franchise quarterback. So to take a shot at that in the second round of a Superflex league feels like great value. I mean, this is pick 12 overall in the NFL draft we're talking about here. Denver loves this guy. I think it's just more of a matter of the difference in the way the fantasy community saw his value before the NFL draft versus the real life NFL seeing his value as the 12th pick overall, making him a potential franchise guy for Denver. I like the value here at the 201 for the upside, but there's some really good wide receivers still on the board that we'll talk about later who I might prefer. But Hutch, what do you think about here? Do you think this is a good pick here at the 201, or would you wait a little later on Nix?
Personally, I'd go with a few other options. You know, you talk about some wide receivers, even potentially a couple running backs, Benson or Jonathan Brooks there, that I like over Bo Nix. Personally, for me, when I look at Bo Nix as a prospect, I'm not intrigued. Personally, I never thought he was a first-round quarterback. I really did not like the pick at 12. And I'm going to be honest, like you say, it's a good landing spot. I mean, they need a quarterback. He's probably going to start pretty quickly. But he just doesn't have weapons to throw to, man. You got Troy Franklin, who's a fourth round pick. I mean, that's something there. But then you have Cortland Sutton, who he scored a bunch of touchdowns last year, but otherwise he was okay. You don't have Jerry Jeudy anymore. You have Greg Dulcich coming off an injury, and the rest of this receiving room is like,
you're not even gonna mention my dog Marvin Mims. You're just not even gonna say his name.
I mean, he could, yeah, sure.
He's not even gonna say his name. Like, come on.
You can mention him. He flashed a couple things last year, but he did nothing special as a rookie to show you this guy is a legit asset. I'm just not excited for Bo Nix personally. I think this is going to be a bad situation. It's a dumpster fire of a team, and I think they'll have the first overall pick next year, and I think they're likely going to be considering a quarterback.
Well, here's the thing, Hutch. I thought that's what they were going to do. I think it's what they should have done. Honestly, looking back, I think that they would. I think if I were the GM,
not taking a quarterback.
Oh, guy putting on his GM hat. Sure, just walk with me for a moment, everybody. I think that the Denver Broncos, like Hutch said, should have tanked for a quarterback for next year. And draft the best defensive player available at 12. I think that was the move here.
It's just
that
they all fell.
There are a lot more than a quarterback away. Yeah, all the defenders fell right into the Colts' lap with the first pick with Lockwood at 15, which is a great value. I don't really understand why they took him. I agree. I had the same reaction as you when they first picked him, Hutch, of gross. Why did they reach that hard on Bo Nix? I didn't think he was a top 15 pick at all. I thought, if anything, he was a late first, early second round guy. I had him mocked to the Saints in the second round of my mock draft. Initially, I thought that's where he was going to land. The Saints or the Raiders in the second round felt like a good fit for Nix for me. But yeah, I the more I've sat with it and the more I've thought about it, I think it's the best case scenario for his career. I mean, obviously the weapons aren't great, but I'm talking about for the player. Okay. They have big investment in him as like a franchise level guy for Denver. And I think they have the right coach that fits the kind of play that is good for the player, if that makes sense. Like, I think while the weapons aren't really there and he's on a bad team, it's not good in that sense. But I think as far as coaching fit and what the organization wants from him, it's a really good fit. And I think that's why I kind of like Bo Nix. Again, I think it's a very difficult situation to evaluate. Like you mentioned, it's kind of gross in the sense of pre-draft, don't really like the guy that much. During the draft, landing spot feels gross initially, but overall, I think he could become a star if the stars align.
He could, yeah. I mean, you know, everyone has an upside, a path to potential, but personally with me, I'm taking a bunch of players before next year 2-1. I just don't – I seem set up for failure here. I know that, you know, the coaching scheme could work for him, but this is a dumpster fire of a team, and I wouldn't be – like I said, I think they're going to have their more overall pick next year. I really do.
I don't hate the Bo Nix pick here, but I think looking at the board, there are, I think, three players I would take over him. I think I would be comfortable with him at the 204. But let's get into the next pick. We spent a lot of time talking Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver for the Jaguars here, going off the board at 202. I think this is a really good value in the second round. Honestly, this is a talented kid. Good landing spot, plenty of opportunity. Calvin Ridley hits the road. You're looking at Gabe Davis and Christian Kirk there as a wide receiver comp for Thomas. I think he could definitely overtake Gabe Davis as the wide receiver too there as the season goes on. Production this year, I don't love, but long-term, there's a lot of ceiling there for Thomas. I like the pick there a lot at 202.
Yeah, absolutely. He's big. He's fast. And he profiles, you know, as a big alpha type wide receiver, one in the NFL that can work downfield. And that's somebody that the Jaguars need. They need that explosive piece on offense that could take their offense to the next level. And Thomas can absolutely do that for them. I mean, he's not a, you know, refined route runner. He needs some help with his footwork. But if you were to develop nicely, get some good coach. I mean, they have solid coaching staff in Jacksonville. They were to help him out. If you were be able to work with Trevor Lawrence well, this kid could really become something special. But I would agree this year, I'm not looking at him as a big time producer, and it's why I'm a big promoter of Christian Kirk this year. I've been a Christian Kirk fan all offseason long, even, you know, after the moment they got rid of Calvin Ridley, I was like, Christian Kirk's gonna have a big year this year, and he's still going pretty late in drafts. Just keep an eye on his ADP. I think it's gonna be still low as we head into August and September.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a rookie wide receiver who has the chance to emerge and do some good things for sure. The next pick I hate, I'm gonna be honest, Michael.
Yeah, Pettis. I don't like this at all.
I don't understand why people are taking him so early in rookie drafts. I get it's a super flex league, but this kid's not going to start for at least a year or two. And with the other players we have on the board here with Pearsall, Keon Coleman, Leggett, Corum, like I like a lot of these guys more than Penix. I think that Penix could be good if he starts someday, but like Bo Nix, one pick ahead of him, two picks ahead of him, is going to be a day one starter most likely, or at least start at some time this season. I'd be shocked if Penix touches the field this year outside of injury. And obviously I hope Kirk Cousins stays healthy. So I don't like this pick at all. I think he should be a late second round pick, if anything, maybe early third.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. And I'm going to go back to Bo Nix for a second. If he does not start week one, I'm going to be pretty concerned. I'm going to be honest. Like the quarterback, like they don't have, here's the thing.
They have some veterans that can,
I know that sounds weird, right? Cause it's like, oh, why he just needs some time to develop. Give him some time to develop. He's a rookie, right? If they had like a Sam Darnold on their team, or at least a somewhat of a veteran that could actually be serviceable, or like a Jacoby Brissett, I understand Bo Nix sitting for a few weeks. They don't have that. They have XFL players. Like, I mean, Ben DiNucci, was he XFL or UFL? He was XFL, right? He was an XFL player for a hot minute. Like, that's where we were for him. He would, like, he's like,
well, they have Zach Wilson.
They have Jared Stidham and they have Zach Wilson.
Stidham's
fine.
Here's the thing. The concern, it doesn't concern me at all for them to sit him behind a guy like that, or Wilson or Stidham. I think here's what's going to happen. I think those guys are going to battle for the starting job. They're going to suck, and eventually they're going to turn to Knicks like halfway through the year. It's what you do with a rookie quarterback. I think it's the right thing to do. I think some people might not agree with that. But when you have a rookie quarterback, if you have literally anybody, unless they're like a top three overall pick, and you're just saying like, hey, Caleb Williams, go start. Whoever, go start. Those early draft picks, you know, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, like those guys are day one starters for most likely, except for May, actually. They have Jacoby Brissett. But most of the time, I think the right choice is to let those guys marinate. It's just adjusting to the NFL, the speed of the game, getting those reps in practice, learning the playbook. I think it's really important for any quarterback, no matter how good they are. I think ideally it's nice to let them sit and marinate. So I don't really hate if Bo Nix sits a little. I think it's the right thing to do, honestly.
I guess it's fair. It's just if Bo Nix doesn't beat out one of those three quarterbacks soon for me, I'm going to be concerned, because that means like there's like,
well, they're throwing out Zach Wilson out there. They're going to give him a chance to start. Like no matter what.
Yeah.
The kid stinks, he's gonna start because they drafted him 12 overall. So like that's the thing here. Like I don't think it matters at all what time he starts. He will start at least one game this season. I'm pretty confident in saying that.
Oh,
and when he does, he does. And that's when he starts to get his opportunity, right? But I'm not concerned about when the opportunity starts, but I'm concerned about what it looks like when it starts, if that makes sense.
All right. So you want to move on to the next board here.
I like this pick a lot. 204, Ricky Pearsall. I think this guy could be the value of rookie drafts. Honestly, like I've been seeing the ADP for him be around this early to mid second round range. I love it. This is a guy who I've been drafting a lot in rookie drafts in the second round. This is a guy who was a first round draft pick. Really nice skill set. I had him graded. I was a second round player, but I'm not mad at all at him going in the first round, especially with the landing spot at San Francisco. Kyle Shanahan is an offensive genius. He knows how to get the most out of all of his players, especially the skill positions. And I think that Pearsall has more opportunity long-term than people expect right now, because Debo and Ayuk are both still on the roster. There was so much smoke surrounding both those players and potential trade talks around the NFL draft. One of those guys are not going to be on the roster at maximum until the end of next season, or at the end of next season, in my opinion. So I think Pearsall long-term has a chance to be at least the wide receiver two on the San Francisco 49ers offense, which has a lot of value. And I think that he is a very, very strong value here in the second round of rookie drafts. I'm drafting a lot of him.
Yeah, he's a very fast, very athletic player. He makes those big plays down the field all over the place. You give him the ball and you put the ball in his hands, short yardage situation too. He can rack up some yak as well. He's just really an explosive athlete. And you're right, with Kyle Shanahan's offense, he's going to know how to use that type of player really well. He's just a genius with offense and that type of player. Ricky Pearsall could be used in a lot of different ways in this offense. I will say this year, I'm not looking at a ton of production. I'm going to be honest. The fact that Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel were not traded during the draft tells me that they're not going to be traded this offseason. I feel like if there was going to be a trade, it would have happened during the NFL draft for a top pick, for like a first round pick or a second round pick.
I'm saying next offseason. I think that one of them.
Next offseason. Yeah, next offseason.
And this is Dynasty. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, Dynasty. Yeah, 100%. I think I'm just saying, Ricky Pearsall, just know that this year, you're just temper your expectations for this season if you're drafting.
And I think that's fine. You know, I think
that's totally fine.
Even being the wide receiver three on this offense, there's enough firepower to go around for him to be a solid fantasy asset. You know what I mean? Maybe a flexible guy this year. But that's fine. You know, show some flashes, work your way up the depth chart long term. I like him a lot still. Blake Corum, this is an interesting one. And I'm going to take I'm taking a moment to take my victory lap here. I don't know if I talked about it on this show explicitly, but I talked about it a lot on Twitter. I've been hammering team sell high on Kyren Williams ever since the season ended.
You and me both. Yeah, you and me both, man.
I don't know if we had the conversation.
Yeah, we talked about the pod. Yeah, we talked about the pod.
We need to find that clip and bring it back. Because listen, dude, we were freaking right. Kyren Williams' value takes a big hit here. Blake Corum is a good back. I think he's going to be a really solid pro running back. He can do everything. The thing with Kyren Williams was they had no freaking competition last year and no draft capital investment in the kid. He's a great player. He balled out for him. But simply put, they needed more competition, and they went out and got the most productive college running back they could find. He's going to be a factor. Is he going to be a huge factor? I'm not sure. I honestly don't love him at this current ADP. I prefer some of these other wide receivers behind him, absolutely, in my opinion. But I think Corum definitely deserves a mid to late second round rookie draft pick.
Yeah, definitely. Corum makes – I mean, there are a lot of dynasty managers out there who don't believe Corum has much of an impact on Kyren at all, and I still see Kyren's ADP pretty high right now. You know, as a mid-back-end RB1. What's that?
I said I disagree with the dynasty. I think for redraft, I get it. I think he definitely could have another top 12 season this year, but dynasty, don't love Kyren. I think long term they're going to kind of turn away from workhorse Kyren.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like Blake Corum, as you said, was one of the most productive college running backs last year. I believe last year he scored 28 touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken, at Michigan. It's just a stupid number. I mean, Luke, you might want to Google that because I might be wrong.
I'll Google for you.
I'm pretty sure it was 28 touchdowns this past year in college. But anyways, Corum's, like you said, a very productive, just stable running back. He can do everything. He can even catch the football a little bit if you want him to. And he's going to work in this offense. We know Sean McVay is very, very fun with these running backs. He's also, here's the thing. Blake Corum, as long as he has some level of talent, as long as he translates decently well to the NFL, he's going to work in. But there's also a world where he takes over by the end of the season.
That is correct. 28 touchdowns. 28 touchdowns. This past season.
Yeah. Stupid. There is a world where Blake Corum, at the end of this year, takes over the backfield. Like, Kyren's a very small back. Corum is a smaller back, too, but Kyren's a very small back. He was a very late round pick.
There's a world. I don't know if the world exists without injury.
We've seen this before, though. We've seen this with James Robinson. We've seen this with Damian Pierce. We've seen this with guys that have very. What's that?
He didn't tear his Achilles.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. But
you know what I mean?
I'm just saying, they drafted Blake Corum with a day two pick. And Kyren was a fifth round.
Hey, by the way, remember that time that you said that Cam Akers could be a top 10 running back for the rest of the season?
What's that?
I'm just giving you shit.
You're giving me a hard time. I say Cam Akers could be a top 10 back in Minnesota.
On this show, you said that Cam Akers had the potential to be a top 10 running back for the rest of the season. I got up and walked out. Do you remember that? I got up and walked out. I do remember that.
I put it like 5%, man. I just said there's
well, the 95% happened, in case you're wondering.
Yeah, no, yeah, 95% happened. That's very fair.
Sorry, I just thought that was a funny moment.
It was hilarious. It was great. I was a Cam Akers stan, guys. I was a Cam Akers stan. I mean, like, the offense was empty. Madison sucked. Like,
well, Hutch, you gotta remember, I was a Cam Akers stan too before he got injured, dude. The thing with Akers that completely derailed his career with all the injuries. You know what I mean? There's one thing about me that I have learned from my career so far is if a running back tears his Achilles, pretend he has died. Like, it sounds really harsh and dramatic and crazy to say, but like, I mean it. For fantasy's sake, if you tear your Achilles, I don't want to look at you ever again. I don't want to touch you. Like, J.K. Dobbins, it makes me so sad because I love J.K. Dobbins.
I'm not fooling myself twice.
Done. Yep. Yeah. No.
What about the rest of the second round here? We got a stretch of four wide receivers: Keon Coleman, Xavier Leggett, Adonai Mitchell, Jalen Polk. Any of these guys really interest you?
I really like the value on the three. I don't really care much for Polk, honestly. Like, I think there's nice upside there with him maybe developing as a wide receiver one alongside Drake May. Like, I think that's kind of fun. I'm a sucker for like a little rookie duo storyline, if you will. But I like the value on Keon Coleman, Leggett, and Mitchell a lot here. Obviously Michael Pittman Jr. is there and established in Indy, but Anthony Richardson's an emerging young quarterback who I think is going to be a superstar this year. I think Mitchell has the potential to be a really solid fantasy relevant, like fantasy wide receiver three, long-term fantasy wide receiver two or higher. I like his skill set a lot. He fell in drafts for like character concerns, quote unquote, air quotes. And I love that. Kutch, I don't know if you or anyone listening out there watching saw the video of the Colts. I think GM.
That was so good. Yeah. I remember
talking about defending his character, saying that it was complete garbage, that he had people saying that he wasn't a good kid because he, you know, was in a bad mood because he got like hungry or something. Like, because they had character concerns in meetings. I think he said quite frankly that it was bullshit. And I was like, hell yeah, defend your draft pick, defend your guy. It's awesome.
He didn't do it exactly with Adonai Mitchell, but he did it with all players who get those weird reports that they have character issues.
I love that, though. I think it's awesome attacking these kids.
It was great. I loved it.
I think it's awesome that he had the attitude of like, hey, these are young men who work their butts off to get to this spot. Like, why put them down? You know, that was his mentality. And I think that was really cool. 100%. I loved it. I loved it a lot. But anyways, Mitchell, I think, has an opportunity to grow. Leggett, again, like, listen, I don't know if you're a Bryce Young believer. I think you're not anymore. I think that he has a chance to bounce back still. I'm not out him entirely. He was on a really bad situation last year. I think Leggett and Deontay and the corpse of Adam Thielen still pose as a much better core than they had last year. So I like his potential upside. And then Keon Coleman, really like him. I think that you don't like him as much as we talked a little bit about pre-show. I'll let you say that in a moment.
A little bit.
Yeah. But I think that he has great upside here. Obviously, Stephon Diggs is gone. Gabe Davis is gone. Outside of him, who's the wide receiver one? Dalton Kincaid? Khalil Shakir?
Yeah.
Curtis yeah. Samuel? Like, there's so much opportunity here. Like, I'm not even saying the route of, you know, vacated targets. I'm saying, listen, Josh Allen is a damn good quarterback. One of the best in the league. Top three in the NFL, in my opinion. He's going to throw touchdowns, and he's going to give people targets. And I think if Coleman can develop into a solid wide receiver, we're looking at a guy who long-term has superstar upside. Do I think he's going Definitely. To be? Not necessarily, but I think the potential is there. To get that here in the rookie draft at 206, fantastic value.
Yeah, I'm not in love with any of these four guys, to be honest. Legette, to me, is really interesting as a prospect, but he took 5 years to break out. And the first 4 years, he didn't break 200 yards in a season. Like, the dude just, he did absolutely nothing. And then his fifth year broke out. And that's just never a prospect like the hits. Like, you look back at history at fifth year guys, these guys just don't hit. Like, they really don't. And Legette dominated that season. His film was one of the most impressive film that I watched in my entire process of this offseason watching these players. I was so impressed with him. But those breakouts just don't work. They very rarely work. And Donnie Mitchell, I like him as a prospect, but he fell way farther than we thought, which is usually a poor sign. And he went to an offense where you have Anthony Richardson, who I think is great, but as a passer, we're not 100% confident. We can't be 100% confident in that. And you got Michael Pittman. You have Josh Downs. You have some target competition already. Polk was just a reach to begin with. I don't get why they picked him at that spot. I think he was a reach, and I'm not a big fan of him. Coleman, though, personally, he fits more as a Gabe Davis to me. When you look back at his college career, I mean, he literally fits the Gabe Davis role. In nearly half his games, he was under 30 yards. He exploded in some games, and some games he just completely vanished and disappeared. He makes big plays. He makes those plays where you're just, oh my gosh, what the heck was that? Just absolutely crazy. But then he just disappears sometimes.
What and if I feel he develops like a 10-plus touchdown a year guy, though? With Josh Allen, but if, very
yeah. But I'm, but yeah, I was going to get to it, but like, if he develops, if, you know, he become more of an NFL-ready prospect, you know, maybe he takes him a little bit of time, he works with Josh Allen, works with his coaching staff, dude could definitely be a 10-plus touchdown guy, and that would be great for fantasy. So out of these four receivers, I would say Keon Coleman's the one where I'm like, oh, yeah, he's interesting.
But here's the thing with me, though. Like, I know you just said why you don't like these guys, right? And I understand. But the reason I like them is because of the value here in the rookie draft. Like, these are guys who were going in the early second round. Except for Mitchell. Mitchell slid a little bit because of, like, character concerns or whatever. But this guy is a second and a first-round talent, in my opinion. That's not changing here to the draft capital, in my opinion, at least. Coleman and Legette, these are two guys who were drafted pick 33 and 32. Like, these are good draft capital, good talent prospects, right? Going to solid situations. Legette less than Coleman. But Coleman, again, this guy was the 33rd pick going to Josh Allen, and he went at the 206. Like, that is stupid value on paper, in my opinion, right? Everything else aside, if you look at that, rookie wide
receiver. If he's not good, it doesn't matter.
Going to Buffalo, I love it. I love it. I think it's great.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's a great situation. Great, great, great outcome for him. But if he's not good, it doesn't matter. If he's not good, it doesn't matter.
It's
and
true.
That's the thing. I tend to be, here's the thing, Luke, when it comes to second round, third round rookie drafts, I tend to be a lot more pessimistic because the hit rates on second and third round rookie picks are usually pretty low. And I try to tend to be pessimistic with these guys usually.
No, I agree, but I'm looking for the gems. I'm just like, I'm giving shouts.
Oh, yeah. They all have paths.
That's what it's all about, right? First round, you're looking for the stars. Totally. Second round, you're looking for the upside. You're looking for the guys who could come out of nowhere because, like you said, the hit rate's low. But if you find that diamond in the rough, if you find that Amon-Ra St. Brown, God bless you, Amon-Ra.
Really? Yeah, that's why I think Keon Coleman has that potential. Why one of these guys I want to talk about here, Jalen Wright, he's one of my favorite picks in the second round.
I agree.
I mean, this dude, I mean, when I was watching his film, watching him play, I mean, I was like, this dude's built for Miami. This is perfect. He's built for Miami or he's built for San Francisco. Like, these are the two teams I want him on. And he landed in Miami in the third round. And fourth round, day three. So not as good, but still, this couldn't be better for him. Because
fourth or fifth? Let me look.
I'm pretty sure it was fourth, if I'm not mistaken. But looking at Wright.
Fourth round.
Yeah, fourth round. He is an excellent prospect. You know, 210-plus pounds, can run the 4.3s in the 40-yard dash. He is so, so fast. He's just so unbelievably explosive.
Why he fell so far.
I really don't either. He's really a repeat of Devon Achane, who just a little bit bigger. I feel like once Mostert's kind of out of the way, once he, you know, pushes out Mostert, he has a massive role in a really good offense with a genius in Mike McDaniel, who knows how to work a run game.
Here's the thing I like about Wright.
Wright is perfect. Wright is perfect for this offense.
He has the talent. The thing with Wright that's really interesting to me is the landing spot, because like you mentioned, he's a perfect fit here. People are going freaking nuts doing backflips for Devon Achane, and I understand it. I love him. I think he has all the upside in the world. We saw him do it
last year. Wright might be better, guys. Just keep that in mind. Wright might be a better player.
That's where I'm going
personally,
with
it. Personally, like, I liked Wright as a prospect more than I liked Devon Achane last year. I really did.
I'm not there personally. I like Achane more as a prospect. I really like Achane. I think that Achane's a better player than Wright right now.
They're good. Yeah.
But listen, I think long-term, like you mentioned with Mostert, dude, knowing Miami and how that coach works, he's using the same system as Kyle Shanahan. Shanahan before McCaffrey, people don't remember, dude. That was a carousel. Every week you didn't know which 49ers running back was going to go off. Kind of similar to Miami last year. Is going to be like that again this year, right? It's going to pop off sort of some big games. Mostert's going to have some big games. Achane's probably going to have the majority of the big games. But Jalen Wright is going to get his opportunity to shine. He's going to have that chance to show why he's the top back in this backfield. And that's why I think he's a really good value here. What do you think about Lloyd going to Green Bay at the 211 here? I don't hate it at all as an upside shot. I mean, he's going to be the long-term backup to Josh Jacobs, but I don't hate it at all.
Sorry, what's that? Sorry. Sorry. I hear my dog barking in the background. I'm trying to get my brother, let him out of the cage real quick.
You're good. Marshawn
what's
Lloyd.
What's going on?
Green
Marshawn
Bay.
Marshawn Lloyd. Okay.
Do you like him at
211? Marshawn Lloyd.
He's a long-term backup to Josh Jacobs, but I think there's nice upside there.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing with Marshawn Lloyd. Josh Jacobs, if you look at that contract, man, it's basically a one-year deal. You see 4 years, you see $40 million. Oh, he's long-term locked in. It's basically a one-year deal. The Green Bay Packers have a very easy out after this year. And Jacobs last year, like, he disappointed really bad in Vegas. I mean, he looked bad a lot of the season. If we see that Josh Jacobs again in Green Bay, there is a very realistic world where he's cut and Marshawn Lloyd becomes the new lead back of the Green Bay Packers. That is a very
like Lloyd a lot.
Marshawn Lloyd, he's big, he's physical, he's fast, he's a really good athlete.
He's
can catch the ball too. He's very elusive. So he's a long-term buy. You're someone you're looking at this year. He's probably sitting, maybe getting a couple carries here and there, a couple touches, but not much. So we got to move on here. Let's talk about Roman Molson for a second.
Dude, I really
he's like a very good all-around wide receiver, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, we know they're good with these wide receivers, their hit rates in the second and third round of drafts. I'm interested in the late second.
Dude, I really like him. I'm a Steelers fan. We traded away Deontay Johnson. I think this is a really good value pick. I mean, this guy's a really good route runner. I think he's going to see a high volume of targets. I mean, Pickens is a good wide receiver. We know this. He's not a high volume guy. He's a lower volume, explosive play guy. And we don't really have a solid wide receiver three. I believe our wide receiver three right now is Van Jefferson. Like, Roman Wilson is going to slot into the wide receiver two or three role immediately. And I think that he's going to be a guy who has upside this season, especially in PPR formats and long-term. I think he's a great value at the 212. I can see him becoming not Deontay Johnson level good, but I can see him becoming a pretty good NFL wide receiver who develops into a wide receiver three or higher on a weekly basis in fantasy long-term.
Yeah, I think he's just so NFL ready. He's so good at everything. He's a great route runner. He has great hands. He's always a quarterback's best friend. And he was always McCarthy's best friend in Michigan. He was great. He's so ready to help Russell Wilson or Justin Fields be really good. And I think by the end of the season, he could be the leader in targets on that team.
Dude, I think
so. I like Wilson late. He's one of the guys in the late second I like. So what about the third round? Because we have some players here. Who are some players? Let's shout out a couple guys that you really like. Because
dear God, dude, he didn't even get drafted here. I'm gonna give the nod to Rattler. Spencer Rattler.
Okay.
He didn't get good draft capital. He went in the fifth round, I believe.
But he went to the Saints.
He went to the Saints. I like that landing spot a lot long term. Derek Carr is not their long term solution, a quarterback at all.
No, he's not.
I think this is a situation where we see a middle round quarterback who has the potential to go out there in preseason, play well, and get some buzz to maybe be a long term solution at quarterback. So, in a super flex league like this, I definitely think he's worth a mid to late third round draft pick, which is where his ADP is. You know what I mean? I don't think it's a reach at all here in the mid to late third round to stash a quarterback in Superflex who has the potential to become a long-term starter. I like him a lot here in the third. Didn't even get drafted, but I like him a lot. Who do you like here? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would talk about, I mean, Ethan just commented. I was going to talk about, I don't think he was drafted either, but Tyrone Tracy for Giants, man. I mean, that kid is an interesting late-round prospect. And, you know, with Devin Singletary as their current starter, like, he could work up that depth chart easily and make some noise pretty quickly. Two more I'll shout out. I really like Audric Estime, running back for the Denver Broncos now. I mean, this kid, really fast, really physical, big-time running back. He's a tackle breaker. He's just, oh, my goodness, he's so insane.
5'11", 221.
Was really impressed by his film. Yeah, he's a monster. And if Javonte Williams, on a contract year, has a bad year this year,
dude, he's
maybe moved on, and Estime is right there, ready to take that role.
He has not been able to stay healthy either. I like Javonte. No, he cannot.
And he'll be 22 years old.
He's going to have a lot of opportunity.
Oh, yeah, totally. Estime next year will be 22 years old, ready to take the role in the Denver Broncos backfield. Very young running back. And then I'll also shout out Ben Sinnott, tight end of Washington. This is a really early opportunity type of tight end. Obviously, you got Zach Ertz there, who, you know, sat Trey McBride for a little bit in Arizona, but Zach Ertz is an old wash busted tight end. He is not much for an NFL team anymore. He's not that guy. But Sinnott is a 6'4", 250-pound, like Slicker says, monster who is so athletic. And he just plays – when watching him play, honestly, he reminds me of George Kittle in the way that he runs and the way that he breaks tackles and how physical and violent he is. He just fights for every yard, and he has so much fun doing it, and he loves it. So I think this is a tight end that's going to be really, really interesting in fantasy. And if Jaden Daniels and him have a really good rapport right away, Sinnott by the end of this season or next season – could work his way to be the number two option in this offense if Jahan Dotson really isn't it. Because you got Terry McLaurin there, and then you got very questionable options outside of that.
Dude, Jahan Dotson is such a weird player, man. He was so hot and cold last year, and he was really solid his rookie season. It's such a bizarre situation for him. But yeah, so I like Sinnott a lot too. I think the value on a tight end who is a decent pass catcher going in the second round, pick 53 overall in the third round of rookie drafts. It's like, what are we doing here? You know, like, this is a guy who very easily could be inserted in the second round of most years, but the first and second round of these rookie drafts are just so stacked with talent. I think that he's a really good value in the third round of your rookie drafts or even late second round. You know, we went in the 301 spot here. I don't hate taking him at like a 212, 210 at all. Really, really good value here, especially in tight end premium leagues. Draft him earlier, mid second rounds. I like the value a lot on him. And quickly, I think we need to give a shout out to one of your boys, dude, Braylon Allen. Rest in peace, man.
I was
134 to the Jets. Gross.
You don't understand, man. You don't understand how heartbroken I was by this one. I mean, this watching Braylon Allen fall past day two was like, oh, that really hurt. I was really hoping for Dallas in the second round. That was really my dream,
dude. Here's the thing. It wasn't even just about going to day three. He was selected. There was like at least 10 running backs that went before.
There's so many running backs selected before him, and these guys are just going. It's like some of these guys really just don't deserve to go over Braylon Allen. Like, I was just really mad.
Like, I literally tweeted out during the draft, did people forget that he existed? Like, I could not
forget he existed. It was absolutely insane to me. And then he goes to the Jets, the worst landing spot possible, because you got a young stud in Breece Hall. So he's a backup, and he will be a backup. And if Breece Hall gets, injured, like with an ACL again, maybe Braylon Allen will take a role and he'll have the role.
What happened to Izzy? Abanacanda, where did he go?
Oh, he's dead. I mean, he's on the Jets, but he's done. Braylon Allen will take the backup role, but it's just, he's a backup now. And it's really sad. He was one of my guys heading to this draft class. And now he's kind of, for fantasy purposes, he's a backup running back.
Selfishly speaking, you're my guy, Braylon Allen, fifth round pick. My guy, Ladd McConkey, 34th overall pick, stud. Justin Herbert's new best friend. Gonna have.
I mean, hey, I had Xavier Worthy, man. I got Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs. So I'll take it.
I'm excited about Worthy too.
Xavier Worthy was my guy. My guy. But Braylon Allen was one I really liked. Yeah.
But very exciting year for rookie drafts. Tons of talent across the board, top to bottom. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Hooked on Fantasy. We have 283 live viewers at the moment. Shout out to everybody who's tuning in over on Twitter/X, whatever you want to call it. And thank you to everyone who's listening on streaming right now. Still, we'll be back with another episode next week. Hutch, what are we going to talk about next week? What do we do
next week?
Rookies are over.
Maybe, Yeah, rookies are done. Maybe we should do a dynasty mock draft or something. Maybe we should do like a full on dynasty mock. It would be a little longer than 20, 30 minutes. We should do a longer.
Maybe we can do the first few rounds, or we can go fast. You know, if it's a CPU, we can like automate it and kind of rapid fire through the picks, do like a 10 second clock or something. Sounds fun.
We can figure something out. Yeah.
A little dual draft, a little mock draft duel.
I would love that.
I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Ooh, or we could do a too early redraft mock.
We could do that too.
I don't know. We'll have plenty of ideas, folks. DM either of us an idea if you have one for the episode, or comment at us or tag us on Twitter or whatever. Ethan, shout out to Sweden in the live chat. I appreciate that. As always, guys, thank you for listening. I don't know. What's my outro now? Oh, yeah. Stay beautiful. Bye.